The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
The Sim Spotlight is sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Phil Sims joins us every Wednesday at 8 a.m., and he is here now. Good morning, Phil. What's happening?
Good morning, Boomer and Geo. Juan Soto. So take that and
that's
do what you
bucks,
want with
Phil.
It.
Phil, 60 bucks.
Okay, yeah, come to my house and collect it.
I want to, okay. Actually. Are we ever going to go back to you?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we're... Do we have a Sunday that's open where we can come over and watch games with you?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I can do that for sure. But, man, you know, it's not as pretty up here now. The leaves have fallen.
Yeah,
and,
it's you know, okay. We want to be inside with you.
Man.
And we want you to cook for us, and we want to watch games.
Yeah, I can do that.
And drink and do the whole thing. And
okay, and, I'll serve it up. I'm a good cook, so you will not go hungry here, that's for sure. My greatest attribute in life is my eating, so I like it a lot. And I will say this, Gio. What, are you in camouflage today?
I am. It's a little snake skin pattern is what that
snake
is.
Snake skin, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like it when you guys start talking to Jerry, because Jerry gets riled up, and one of these days he's going to punch somebody. That's what I feel just watching it.
Oh, we all feel the same thing, and we can't wait for him to totally snap. And he has snapped before. It's very close. You know how that is. You have that very temperamental teammate in the locker room that could lose it at any moment.
Oh, that is so funny. It's just a matter of he snaps because,
<Yes. It is.
laughs> oh, my God, I don't know what it is, that word, just with Jerry and everything. But, you know, hey, he's working with you two idiots. You know, you over-talk him. He's trying to tell you what's going on, and you won't listen.
Yeah, we won't listen. Well, you don't listen to anybody for that matter. All right, so let me ask you a question. The trip to Germany, a lot of beer and pretzels for you, I heard. Little Mouse that was on that trip, watched pretty much everything you were doing. Game had to be tough for you to do for Westwood One. I mean, Daniel Jones missed at least 10 different opportunities for this team to win the game. And now it sounds like, and nothing's official yet, but it does sound like that they're going to send him back to the bench. Give me your assessment of what you think is going on over there.
Well, let me go on to my Germany trip here real quick. Okay. Did a lot of appearances. I will tell you this. We were in Munich. The fans, they are off the charts crazy about NFL football, and they're mad as hell because they want a game there every week. And so it's really interesting. The crowd at the game was, you know, just into it. Everybody's in their seats, you know, 3 hours before the game, the damn stadium was full. And I did the game on Westwood One with Jason Horowitz, and we literally sat in the middle of the stands. Not a booth, not anything. We were in the middle. I'm, you know, during timeouts or whatever, all the fans sign autographs. Hey, how you doing? Leave me alone.
What?
it was cold. Oh, my gosh. But my last thing is, I was at this big function in a huge room with all the fans in it, and Roger Goodell's there next to me. Julius Peppers is there. and they give us these beer steins, and they're humongous, I mean, whatever, and they want us to kill them. And I didn't do that, but I'll tell you this, the commish did a pretty damn good job.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, no, it was good. He played into it, which was great, and he didn't drink the whole thing, but I don't know. The whole experience is really something. It caught me by surprise, just the energy and the enthusiasm everywhere you went about the NFL.
All right, now, let's get to the quarterback situation here for the Giants, and what do you expect going forward, and what did you see watching doing the game on Sunday?
Well, you know, it was like I've seen this movie many times. It was a rerun. You know, just plays, opportunities, everything you could think of for the Giants to win the game. The Giants were the better team. Yes, Carolina played with a little more enthusiasm maybe early in the game because, you know, they won one before. They got a little confidence. Bryce Young actually made some good throws early in the game, too, to help them. But the opportunities, and they did not take advantage of them once again. You know, the turnovers in the red zone. And, you know, I even said this on the air. Probably the best play call of the game by the Giants was Brian Daboll on 3rd and 1. Let's run the flea flicker. Oh, I see it on TV now. And two receivers are wide open. 3rd and 1. You think the defense is going to try to protect against the run. They are flying to get to the quarterback. But both of the receivers that ran their routes were wide open. It was going to be a big play. Could have been the difference in the game. But that's the Giants season.
Yeah, but he just doesn't pull the trigger. I mean, and that's why he's probably going to go to the bench. And it sounds that way, especially listening to Joe Shane yesterday and, of course, Brian Daboll. They don't want to throw Daniel under the bus, and I understand that. But we all know what we're watching. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, I think we all, you know, when the game was over, I said, boy, that could be the end of Daniel Jones. And I think I'm sure a lot of the fans were saying the same thing, people watching the game. And, look, anytime you want to shake up your team and get some a different vibe and whatever, you know, the easy way to do it, and it's probably deserved, you switch quarterbacks. And I did hear you guys talking about a little. It will be Drew Locke. I can't imagine that they're going to jump over him and give us Tommy DeVito. I watched Tommy DeVito. He warms up for like an hour before every game. I've been in about 3 or 4 Giant games. And, hey, look, he did a good job last year, but Drew Locke was brought here and came here because he thought there might be an opportunity to play. Daniel Jones wasn't going to be ready at the beginning of the season, or what's going on now. Seattle wanted to keep him, but he wanted to go somewhere where he had a better chance to get to see some action, and I think that's the biggest reason why he came to the Giants.
I can't imagine that Drew Locke is going to make this offense look much different, but I guess there is hope there when you put in a different quarterback. What type of offense do you think we're going to get with Drew Locke?
Well, he grew up in Seattle last year, GL. That's one thing he did. He was drafted by Denver, and I think in the 2nd round from Missouri. Everybody thought he would be a first rounder, but he'd had a so-so year his senior year. They weren't as good or whatever. But out in Seattle, he played very controlled, smart, made some good throws. He's tough as hell. So, you know, I don't know what to expect. He can run, good runner with the football. He is a big guy. He does have a very good arm. And what I've seen during his career, it hasn't been great, that's for sure. But in his career, he's not afraid to take a chance, and he will drive the football down the field. I'm sure he's been practicing as a second quarterback, a few reps with the first team offense, runs the scout team a little. So I just can't imagine they would jump him and put in Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, we're talking to Phil Simms here, and Phil, you know what's going on with the Jets is just absolutely mind-numbing.
Oh my gosh.
It is, yes, oh my gosh is right, and it is mind-numbing, and, you know, we've been talking about coaches the last couple of weeks. Gio brought up an unbelievable name at least 6 weeks ago, probably right prior to Rob Saleh being fired, and I never really thought of it because I didn't know whether or not he would be able to get back into the NFL. The NFL has no prohibition against him, and that is John Gruden. Do you think that John Gruden would be a good fit for the Jets, and do you think that the NFL would you know, welcome him back with open arms?
No, they would not. I can't imagine they would. So that I heard y'all talking about that. John Gruden would run an offense if Aaron Rodgers comes back next year. That is what he teaches and what he has done his whole life. John Gruden is a coach, and Aaron Rodgers ran for all those years in Green Bay. It's an identical offense in that way. I did hear you guys talking about Steve Spagnuolo. Hey, you know, he's older. He's got it going out there in Kansas City. I've talked to coaches that play the Kansas City Chiefs, and they go, oh, my God, this guy, he's changed from what he was doing 2 years ago when it was new. And they talk, and I just go, well, do you have a chance to win? The way they would talk about it. I even heard that when the 49ers, Boomer, we were out there for the Super Bowl, how much he had changed, and they didn't have a great feel for what he was going to do. And why would Steve Spagnuolo, hey, I would think they would pay him like a head coach in Kansas City to make sure he stays there.
Now, Phil,
so the John Gruden thing is that's a pretty tough sell.
Well, I think hold on 1 second. If an owner comes to wants to hire John Gruden, theory, you're telling me that the NFL and Roger Goodell would stop that owner from making that hire?
I'm not going to say I would not say that. I think they would give their opinion, and it would be kind of like, come on, is this what you want to do? I just that's what I think.
Hmm.
So, you know, he's got a suit against the NFL. There's a lot of guys, I don't know what to even say about that. I just say, no, I don't think that could happen with the Jets, but it is a good idea, Gio. I'm not taking that away from you, but there's a lot of good assistants, and almost for sure, Rex Ryan wants the job. Heard that the other day on TV. I was like, wow, okay. He's outwardly just saying, one more shot. I'll go back to the Jets. But if you go to the Jets, you know, in this day and age, unless the coach you hire, he's on the defensive side, can he find the right offensive coordinator? To me, that's the biggest thing going on in the NFL now. It's about the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I just find it hard to imagine, though, if Woody Johnson or the Bears ownership group decide, like, listen, I'm fine with John Gruden and his past, and this is the perfect guy to take over my team right now, and then the NFL comes in with their opinion of it and a strong opinion of it, that it would influence an owner enough not to make that hire because it would upset the league. I just can't. I can't see that. Now, you were standing next to Roger Goodell drinking beers with him. I was not. So you probably have a more informed opinion on this, but that seems nuts to me.
No, I don't have a more informed. We didn't talk about any of that stuff. John Gruden would not be the guy you want to hire in Chicago. Caleb Williams is not the quarterback that's going to fit his system. That's what they got going on there now in Chicago. Why they fired Shane Waldron is they're running an offense for the drop-back quarterback, the pocket guy and everything like that, and that's not what Caleb Williams is. He needs a unique offense, which the Washington Commanders did for Jaden Daniels, and he needs something not the same, but something similar. And to always you want to have an offensive coordinator that's going to fit the quarterback's abilities physically, mentally. And, you know, just think about Caleb Williams. I'm sorry to get into this.
No, go.
But he's had great success as a young kid playing youth football, high school football, college football, and he's in a different world right now. It's been hard. He's getting some lessons. And you know what? His career's not ruined. He'll be fine. He needs to toughen up. You know, there's nothing like a little failure to get your rear end really on fire. Pay attention and play the game differently.
You know, as Aaron Rodgers said, he said humble pie, basically. You know, this is what's going on there. You know, he does have a coach out there that could actually unlock him, who has unlocked Jaden Daniels, and his name is Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, that would be interesting. He would be a better fit for Caleb Williams than what I've seen watching their games. Like I said, he's running the Geno Smith offense. Geno Smith is a veteran with experience who's a drop-back quarterback. He's not Caleb Williams. So when I watch it, I just go, one, quarterbacks to have success, Boomer, we all know this, you need an offensive scheme that fits what you are, and the sequence of play calling is probably more important than anything. And when I watch the Bears, they've had a few good games, no doubt, against lesser competition, but they played well. And, of course, they blew the game with the Hail Mary, so I don't know what to say, but they got to get the right guy in there for Caleb Williams to let him show his talent and what he is.
Yeah, that's a very good point about the Hail Mary. They lost to the Washington Commanders on the last play, and it was a disaster, and it's been a disaster ever since. And now Shane Waldron gets fired. Now, Cliff Kingsbury obviously had some success with Kyler Murray, younger player.
Right.
He is now having a ton of success with Jaden Daniels. And didn't he coach Caleb Williams at one point in his college career?
He was out there at USC, I think, his last year.
Oh, there you go. There. So, yeah, all right. So I would think that would be a good fit if, in fact, that does happen. I do want to talk to you about you real quick. There is a local guy. I don't know if you know him personally. He's a Bergen Catholic guy. He got his first win as the interim coach of the New Orleans Saints, and that is Darren Rizzi. Do you know him?
Oh, yeah, I know him.
How great is that?
Yeah, it's great. You know, Darren Rizzi, he's the greatest joke teller I've ever met in my whole life. I mean, he has four new jokes every time you see him the next day. He's funny as hell, but he does have a great personality to be a head coach. He's tough. You know, he believes in all the, you know, what you do to build a football team. So I was really happy for him that he, you know, had success and won a game. And I'm sure the team, when he gets up and talks, it's got to be have everything. Motivation, funny, relates to the players. So it's a good audition for Darren Rizzi down there in New Orleans.
He actually, you know, opened his press conference after the game on Sunday by saying that he backed up the head coach's toilet. Did you hear that?
No, I did not hear that. It's something I really don't care to hear, but okay.
Well, I didn't realize he was as humorous as your point making him out to be, but...
Oh, no, he is. He really is.
Well, there you go.
When I go and cover a game, and he's the special teams coach, he comes up to me, "Hey, Phil, did you hear this?" And he goes right into the, like, a stand-up routine for 5 minutes. I'm like, "Darren, don't you have to coach somebody? Leave me alone just for a minute." But, yeah, that's great, and... You know, I love all this talk about the quarterbacks and this and that about, oh, you know, Caleb Williams, he's ruined. I just go, come on. You know, Terry Bradshaw, I know I've told you guys this before, but he, the great Terry Bradshaw, always makes this statement. Hey, as a quarterback in the NFL, you got to go to hell before you go to heaven. So Caleb Williams, he's got to toughen up. And another group that's got to toughen up, the Jets. When I was on the plane and Papa told me the score of the game. I said, "What? You sure?" And then I watched it yesterday, and wow, it was just a total domination. It was embarrassing. That's the best word for it.
Yeah, I mean, in this defense, who has talked a mean game and really been feeling themselves for years, just, I mean, they missed more tackles than any other team in the league this year. I think they were tied for 20. Sauce Gardner, embarrassing. I mean, that to me looked more. I mean, there had to be an effort issue there. I mean, I'm very careful. Boomer always does be very careful about saying teams quit, but, and I'm not saying they quit, but it did not feel like they were giving 100% in that game on the defensive side of the ball.
There was no emotion, and I watched it on TV just to see it, what it looked like on there instead of on my computer, and the Jets did not have the emotion, the intensity. And I thought when I just watched and I wrote down, I just said, hell, Arizona thinks this is a Super Bowl. The way they were hitting, the way they were blitzing the quarterback, can they pick up a blitz? My gosh, the Jets can't. Free runners coming at Aaron Rodgers and, you know, everything. Arizona running the football, Kyler Murray under the center, Kyler Murray making great decisions. It's not all about him. And they got some other players that are playing terrific. And, boy, Jonathan Gannon has done a really good job. I thought he had it going last year about midseason that it fell apart, but they got it going once again, so it's going to be a fun team to watch.
You know, you said it. If you have a 40-year-old quarterback who's bound for the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, one of the greatest players of his generation, and the offense can't pick up a goddamn blitz, that means that the offensive coaches absolutely suck. Because you got to have a plan, and you got to be able to put that plan in place to be able to handle the blitz. And once you can't handle the blitz, guess what? They just keep blitzing and blitzing and blitzing. And the next team you see, they're going to blitz and blitz and blitz. And I'm serious, Phil. This is like, I cannot believe. And then you listen to Aaron yesterday talking about how, you know, they got to practice harder and they got to make, you know, they got to.
It's too late.
It is too late. I know.
They should have been doing this in training camp. You know, so to practice harder. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but
and Bill Parcells said, do I have to give you guys credit for having playing hard? Can I take that I don't have to worry about it? We're going to do that no matter what I say. So you know, go ahead.
All right. So, but I also said this week and Monday morning I came in here and you probably didn't hear this, but I did say that I believe that Aaron Rodgers has sucked the life out of the building over there, the Jets. And what I meant by that is that it's not so much negative towards him. It's more positive towards him. It's how everybody else is reacting to him. Like he's walking in there like he's the God, that he's going to make all the plays, that things are going to happen because of the things that he has done in his past. So everybody's going to defer to him. The owner's going to defer to him. The coaching staff is going to defer to him. There's no way in the world Jeff Ulbrich can hold him accountable for the way that he's practicing. You know, Rob Saleh wanted to, you know, have Nathaniel Hackett step down because he recognized that they weren't very good. They weren't very organized. They didn't have answers for the blitz. I mean, this thing is a complete and utter disaster at the moment. And I have no idea what the hell they're going to look like next year.
Well, listen, organizations, your show, anything we all do, there's a pecking order, and when it's in order, that's when you are at your best. We don't have that pecking order in order with the New York Jets. And that alone, I think, is a big, big deal. So, you know, and I know, all you worry about, Gio, all you worry about is a quarterback and an offense, and the coordinators are always just on fire, making sure let's protect and not have people just running free. And when you see them running free, that is just an indictment on the coaches. And so, and the effort, I know they probably did give great effort. It didn't look like it. I mean, it was going by what my eye, and the results show us that is, you know, that's the worst when it happens that way. It's one thing to play hard and lose. It's another thing not to play hard and really lose. So I that's what I saw watching the Jets.
All right, Phil, glad you're back in the country safely. Great talking to you. We got to set up that date.
Yep, we'll do that. And imitate me once again, Gio. Let me hear that.
Feel.
You know, that's pretty good. It's feel.
Feel.
Oh, my gosh.
Got to get a little southern accent to it there, son.
Wild blueberry. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know. I hear you. I tell you what. Boomer, reach over there and just give him a little punch in the arm for me.
No, I actually just keep moving. You know, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. I like it.
Okay. See you, Phil.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Rich Gannon joins us in 15 minutes. Former NFL quarterback who was with CBS Sports for a long time. He's got some thoughts on John Gruden, so we'll talk to him. But right now it's time for Jerry's update. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, good morning. We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we are also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. We've heard from Joe Shane all morning. We know the deal. You just talked to Phil Simms about the Giants, and we'll move on. A couple of other things from the NFL which were interesting. So we know the Cowboys got clocked by the Eagles. We know the Jets got clocked by the Cardinals. So a couple of things that NFL films caught on tape, which is this is the old kick you while you're down spot. This was Landon Dickerson of the Eagles getting his team ready to, well, as he tells you here, blast the Cowboys.
We're here to whoop the out of them. That scoreboard. 60 minutes of making a to quit and making them say, damn, I got to play them again. Let's go. Let's go, the Cowboys on three. One, two, three. Cowboys.
Can
I go home. We're going to whoop the F out of them.
And it was whoop the F out of them on three.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, that's a rough one, huh?
My goodness.
Yes, it is.
And yeah. Then they went out and whooped them, 34-6.
Mm.
We know the Jets lost to the Cardinals 31-6. NFL Films caught Kyler Murray and James Conner. I guess this is late fourth quarter as they're on. Maybe it's during a timeout. I don't know. Fair to say, with such a big lead, no reason to really be engaged in the game at this moment.
It's a privilege to feel like we're good. You know what I'm saying? We're good enough to, as long as I do me. He grew up eating Wendy's.
Okay. Arby's?
Or whatever the Arby's, Wendy's.
Long John Silver.
All that. On gang. Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Sonic.
I had that.
They had Sonic?
Keep in mind, the game wasn't over yet.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
I mean, this is all kind of crazy talk on the sideline.
You know how much you have to be getting your ass kicked for the opponent to bring up Long John Silver's on the other sideline? I mean, I hadn't thought of Long John Silver's in like 15 years, and they're over there on the other sideline talking about that because the game is so out of hand.
Because they could. Which is
holy
really
hell.
Very interesting.
Are there any Long John Silver's left? There can't be.
I'm going to say there are. Yeah, I'm going to say there. I don't know, but I'm going to say there are.
I remember it was like Long John Silver's, where America goes for fish.
That was a commercial.
I'm going to say there's someone there. There are Long John Silver's in New York somewhere. Not New York City, but I'll bet you somewhere in New York State there's a Long John Silver's.
There's one on the Sunrise Highway service road in like Patchogue area back in the day. All right, here we go. Long John Silver's. Find a restaurant.
There's a Yelp that says Long John Silver's Midtown West Manhattan.
Wow.
Midtown Manhattan has a Long John Silver's. All right, I take it back.
Let's say allow this time, allow, use my location. That says no results nearby.
Oh, yeah, when you click on the thing, it does not bring you to one. Yeah, it must have closed.
Okay.
Well, there's a ton, though. There's like 15 in Kansas, 41 in Kentucky. Shocker.
Right. I thought maybe somewhere in New York State, maybe Albany or somewhere, would have a Long John Silver's.
New York, there's four locations.
Okay.
Oh, my God. They're all upstate. Batavia, Hudson, New York, Oneida, and Queensbury, New York.
Wouldn't
all
that
upstate.
Be Batavia? Not Batavia?
Who the hell knows? What's the difference? If we're there, something went wrong.
And then also from NFL Films, any thoughts what this might be?
Damn it! Damn it! Damn it! Damn it!
Any thoughts what that is?
No, I actually...
Damn it! Damn it!
That sounds like a quarterback dropping a snap or throwing a ball over somebody's head.
Damn it! Damn it.
You guys have a guess?
Damn it. Damn it.
No.
I feel like I know that voice.
Do
I know that voice?
Damn it. Damn it.
You do. He's not here. He doesn't. And he's a coach, but not New York Giants, not New York Jets.
I'm going to say,
damn it. Damn it.
Kevin O'Connell when Sam Darnold threw his third pick.
Peter Laviolette.
Not doing the NFL.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, he's saying that all the time, every time Kondra Miller's on the ice.
So now,
damn it!
Now I'll play the entire thing for you, and there's a little bit of a pause. I will just tell you it's Jim Harbaugh.
Damn it! Damn it!
Oh, I know what this is about.
You do know what this is about?
I do. They're warming up before the game, uh-huh. And he drops
the balls are coming out good! I suck today.
He was catching passes from Justin Herbert, and he dropped one.
Yes.
And he was mad at himself. So there you go. NFL Films killing it over the weekend. You've got the...
Hey, by the way, where's Mantua, New Jersey?
I don't know, man.
Never heard of it.
Mantua. There's a combo Long John Silver's Taco Bell.
Oh, that sounds like that's going to be a rest stop then.
On Bridgeton Pike in Mantua, New Jersey.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bridgeton Pike? Is that down near, like, Delaware?
Yeah, it's down near, like, past Philadelphia on the New Jersey side.
Man, you want some Long John Silver's in this area. You got to go a long-ass way.
Hmm.
Connecticut, Hartford area. That's our listening audience, right? Hartford people?
I would say so, yeah.
And they're absolutely. All combo Taco Bells. They're all, like, rest stop ones.
Yeah, they got to be rest stops, yeah.
Imagine getting fish from a rest stop.
I would love to watch Al eat something from either one of those two places and see how his stomach reacts 15 minutes later.
I will say I had salmon in a Hilton in downtown Columbus yesterday morning on my avocado toast. Not good.
Well, yeah, I mean.
A little rubbery.
Sure, it wasn't salmon jerky.
Yeah, I mean that
it was salmon. Like Zucker's, you know, the
bagel,
the
place.
Salmon. Yeah, the salmon we get from Zucker's, man. Oh man, that place is unbelievable. But yeah, this is a little rubbery salmon.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that salmon came from Alaska in 2020, got caught in the ports.
finally got to Ohio.
It actually came in rolls. Was sent the milkshakes.
Can you tell you're a fisherman, obviously, and I don't eat fish, so I don't know. Can you tell
don't
when
eat
you
fish?
I don't care for it. Can you tell when you catch fish, cook it same day or say next day, as opposed to when you get fish in a restaurant that takes weeks
100%.
Or days? You can.
There is nothing better than that fresh fish. Actually, there's a fish called a weak fish that if the next day you cook it, it tastes totally different. But if you cut it up and eat it like within a couple hours, it has a completely different taste and it's delicious. The tuna right away.
Mm.
Nothing like
I always wonder what the process is. Like how the hell they get it to a restaurant in the proper time and keeping it where it's still really good.
Down in Costa Rica, down in, I forget the area, but we caught a huge tuna and brought it into the restaurant that night and had it for dinner.
You brought it into the restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Slices up for me, pigs. Los Sueños, is that right? Could that be the right? It was some like
Long John
town.
Silver's.
some fishing town. But yeah, we brought the fish in.
What did he say? Hot tuna?
Knicks did beat the Sixers last night, 111-99. They're home for Chicago tonight. The Nets take on Boston. The Rangers did lose last night. The Devils won. The Islanders lost in overtime.
Damn it!
Exactly.
Thanks, Jerry. We got Rich Gannon joining us next.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network talking a lot about John Gruden potentially getting back into the NFL, taking a head coaching job in a place that really needs some energy and a spark. And the New York Jets certainly are that place, especially when you consider some of the other candidates that might not want to come work for Woody Johnson and John Gruden wanting to get back in. Maybe that's the type of opportunity that he gets. So to talk more about John Gruden, why not go to someone who spent a lot of time with him? 17-year NFL veteran quarterback Rich Gannon. Rich, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing great, Rich. Thanks for calling in this morning. You know, Gio was on to something about 6 weeks ago, and he was talking about John Gruden for the Jets because it would be exactly what the Jets would need. They'd need a personality. They'd need a guy that was going to make the team tough and competitive, kind of like what Rex Ryan did for them when he first got here from the Ravens. So, you know, I made some calls, did some digging. The NFL does not have anything that says that John Gruden cannot come back and coach. So if that in case is the facts, what do you think? Do you expect to see him on the sideline, and does he want to come back and coach in the NFL?
Well, Boomer, he does. He'd love to come back and coach. You know, John, he's passionate about the game. He sits down in that office down there in Tampa. He meets with coaches, players, college coaches. He's watching tape every day. He's around the game. He loves it. And, you know, I'm sure in the right situation, he'd love to come back. And look, you're talking about a guy that's got a ton of experience. He started his career in San Francisco, was in Green Bay with Mike Holmgren and Andy Reid and all those guys, and Philadelphia, Oakland, Tampa Bay, back to Las Vegas. And so, you know, obviously, he had a career in broadcasting. But you're right about the Jets situation. They need some stability. They need some toughness. They need some direction. They need to get the offense straightened out. Most importantly, you know, they got to figure out what the long-term plan is at quarterback. I mean, I just did a whole breakdown of what's going on with the Jets right now, offense, and it's a train wreck. I mean, you got one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game that doesn't look comfortable in the offense. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second. You know, they're pass. I'm just looking at some numbers here. In every blocking statistic, the Jets rank outside the top 20. Every blocking statistic, so they're not protecting them. I love the running back, Breece Hall. But he's a liability in protection. If he's in the backfield in the passing game, they need to get him out because he's not helping him when he stays in and blocks. And of course, you look at Devontae Adams. That was supposed to be the guy was going to fix it all. Got 20 catches for 206 yards and one touchdown in four games. It's just the offense, they're so out of sorts right now, it's not even funny.
You know, the amazing thing is the offense was run by Aaron's best friend, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, and then that whole thing blew up and they ended up firing Rob Saleh. But I just want to get back to John Gruden for a second. This email scandal that he's involved in, the emails, the unfortunate words that he decided to use in regards to describing some people, can he overcome that, you think, with players? And do you think players would understand some of the stuff that he went through and maybe, you know, give him a second go-around?
You know, Boomer, what's interesting is not one player, since this all has come out, has ever said that John Gruden said anything to him that was racist or, anti-Semitic, anything, nothing. Not a single player has said that, or a person that I'm aware of. So what's amazing is, if you know the history of it, there was an email chain that went back and forth. John was working at ESPN at the time. It involved Bruce Allen and some other people outside of the profession, and there was just kind of, you know, nonsense, you know, guy stuff, saying stuff about, and they were criticizing John because he wasn't coaching, just back and forth stuff. And so they took a couple things that were said in some text chain or email, and basically used that to get, I think, the attention away from the owner down there in Washington. And it's really a tragedy what happened. You really ruined the name of a really good man. You can say you don't like him as a coach, you like him as a coach, it hasn't worked out. Whatever the situation is, he was a good football man that took care of people, cared about his players, cared about the staff, and really got a really bad deal. I think he wants to come back if the situation's right. I thought there was a situation last year where he may come back as a coordinator and help a team, but that didn't happen. But I think in the right situation, and if the opportunity presented itself, he would certainly consider it.
You know, what's interesting is you say the right situation. So he would still, you think, be picky of where he goes despite wanting to desperately get back in. I think that's an important point because I don't think there's any situation worse than the New York Jets outside of the Cleveland Browns and the NFL. So if John Gruden's getting multiple opportunities or he's being picky about where he goes, and the Jets aren't going to have a shot at him either.
Well, Gio, you bring up a great point. We've fired 30 coaches in the last 4 years, and there's only one reason, with the exception of Brandon Staley in Los Angeles, the Chargers. We fire them all because they don't have a quarterback. Even Bill Belichick got fired because the quarterback room wasn't right. So that's a big, you know, when you look at coaches and the right situation, it starts there. You know, a Boomer and I's colleague a decade ago, Bill Cowher, you know, they were talking about him going to New York. And everything had to be right. The quarterback situation, the ownership, the management, the personnel people. So there's a lot that these coaches look at. But when you look at the situation in New York, I think you've got to start the quarterback. Aaron's 41 years old. He's not the same player he once was. I don't think he's coming back next year. So not only are you starting over with the head coach, but you have to start over with the staff, and most importantly, probably the quarterback position.
Yeah, most likely a front office as well, I would think. It seems like it's heading in that direction. You know, it's hard to really predict what's going to happen, but it all seems like it's heading in that direction. So, you know, quickly, in terms of, like, John Gruden, one more time, if an NFL owner called you up and they said, okay, tell me about John Gruden, tell me about something I don't know about him that is good that I could use in a PR battle against some of the negativity that may be surrounding him.
Well, the Glazer family just had him back as their guest this past weekend down there in Tampa to honor him and some of the players on that Super Bowl team. So I think that when you really look under the hood, Boomer, at what happened, this is not a reflection of who Coach Gruden is. And I was around him for all those years in Oakland. I never once heard him say anything derogatory towards anybody. Certainly, not an African-American player or, you know, any of that kind of nonsense. So players love them. Players love playing for them. All types of players from different backgrounds, different colors, creeds. And so, you know, I don't know that that's an issue. I really don't. I think you talk to anyone in the business, as you know, Boomer, inside the buildings, inside these organizations, inside, you know, the front offices, and they know who he is. You know, he's a guy that coached and, of course, went around covering the games for ESPN for years. I think he's got a great reputation. And I think, you know, there's no perfect candidate. Keep that in mind. You know, everyone wants to go hire Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan's young, up-and-coming assistant coach. You know, a lot of teams have gone that route. That hasn't worked as much lately. But, you know, there's these trends in the NFL, and I just think he's a winner. I think he brings a work ethic that is really unmatched. And I think somebody who's motivated to right the ship and to create a new legacy for himself. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we talk about real quickly. We talk about, you know, rehabbing one's image and rehabbing one's legacy. If he would be able to turn around the New York Jets, think about that for one moment. Do what Rex Ryan did for the Jets. I think that would be an amazing feather in his cap and would be something that he could be very proud of.
The Hall of Fame worthy, Boomer. That's not an easy situation. And I really think it gets back to, I'll finish with this real quick. You know, I did the NFL games, Boomer, a colleague of yours, 18 years, and I went into that building and did a ton of their games. And every time I walked out of the building, I thought to myself, something's not right here. They're going to really fix it. It's about the culture and the environment. They've got to clean things up there. They have done things the wrong way for too long, and they need somebody to come in with some fresh perspective and some toughness and to get that thing turned around.
Yeah, and I have just one more because you just said you did a whole breakdown on the Jets offense, so I'm fascinated to hear about some other takeaways. Where does the blame lie? I mean, is it coaching with some of these protections and some of these issues and why Aaron's uncomfortable, or is it that Aaron Rodgers is trying to run an offense that worked when he was 27 years old that he can't run when he's 40 years old?
All right, I know we're up against the break, so I'll be quick, okay? The offensive line's not good enough. The protection is a problem. He's missed some hot reads and he's missed some throws just because of the protection. So you can tell he's not comfortable. You see a half dozen times every game where he looks at, whether it's Davante Adams, whether it's
Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, Garrett. Well, any of these guys, and they're not on the same page. And so you look at that. You got a veteran quarterback that's a Hall of Famer that you can tell isn't quite comfortable with what's going on. Whether it's protections, whether it's the play calls, whether it's the scheme, whether it's the execution. We saw Mike Williams get run out of town. You see Davante Adams, who's supposed to know all the hand signals. There's four or five shots every game where he throws a ball and the receiver doesn't look, doesn't stop. You know, there's just too many mistakes right now. I think you go from a different head coach to a different play caller. Too much change, Boomers. You know, Gio, around a quarterback is never a good thing.
Rich, great talking to you. Thanks for jumping on this morning.
You guys are the best. Thanks.
All right. See you, Rich
Gannon. Yeah. Former NFL quarterback, 17 years, multiple Pro Bowls, played in the Super Bowl. So
listen, exactly what I thought he was going to say about John Gruden. I wanted people here in the New York area to hear that. Because this is a guy that, you know, actually has been asked to be a part of a coaching staff with John Gruden in previous years, but he wanted to stay in Minnesota with his family and do what he was doing, so he didn't bite on that. And look, he loves John, as most people who have played for him do, and I'm sure there will be some negativity out there. But I think and the fact that the Glazers had him down in Tampa this past weekend.
Yeah, but there's one thing that he said, and we'll talk about it on the other side. There's one thing that he said that makes me think that it wouldn't happen with the Jets.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.